Now let's check in with Jack down in Morocco.
Let us sit bent, but talk straight.
Meanwhile, back in Tangier, Kasbah Kelly has closed his bar. Kelly sits alone, lamenting the disappearance of Sonny. Mojo tickles the ivories. Kelly assists his lament by slowly drinking his bar dry.
I don't know, Mojo. I don't know how I got involved in this thing with Jack Flanders. Maybe he poked a hole into a large vacuum and eventually all of us, everything, tables, chairs, cats, dogs, everything's gonna be sucked right through that little hole and out into space.
That's been known as the Big Lip Void, boss.
Yeah, well, it sure sucks them in. There's a damn good chance the Comtesse di Zazenia has her paw in this mess. What do you think, Mojo, about watching that old witch, Fatma Tajim?
You think she got something to do with the Comtesse?
I never thought of that. You think that's possible?
Yeah.
Why?
Feeling, boss. She didn't want me to follow her, and she sent her owl after me.
Her owl? You mean the owl Jacker was her owl?
I think so, boss.
This calls for a plan. Why don't you, Mojo? Why don't you keep an eye on that old woman? And I'll go see La Contessa di Zazenia, that noble windbag.
You two don't get on too well, boss.
That's true. We need a plan. Let me think. Yeto, Kasbah Kelly's. We're closed. Goodbye. La Contessa. I'm gonna figure that I want to know what she knows about Sonny disappearing into the Big Lip Void. So, I'll play it by ear, and maybe she'll,
Yellow, Kasbah Kelly's, we're closed.
Maybe, Mojo. Maybe she'll let something slip. She's a crafty old bag. But she loves to talk. She knows a lot. I'm gonna be sneakier than she is.
Yeah, she's kind of clairvoyant, boss.
She won't know where I'm coming from. I'll sneak up behind her, and when her guard's down, pounce.
Yellow, Kasbah Kelly's, we're closed. Yeah.
What a shrewd old biddy.
Okay, he'll be there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guess who that was from?
La Comtesse.
That's right. The old bag's got a lot of cackle left in her.
Well, you know what the Berbers say, boss.
What's that, Mojo?
When the chicken's feathers are of gold, it ain't too smart to make broth of the hen.
They've built a fire.
Mm, that feels wonderful.
Mm. You know, some people put faith into certain objects, you know. Charms, things like that. To protect themselves. Boy, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
A fire protects from the creatures of the night.
And I sure hope so.
You know, I think I'm just about ready to turn in.
Son of El-Kaba.
Yes?
Do not stray from this fire.
Oh, don't worry about that.
I sure won't.
There's a saying, have faith, though it be only in a stone, and you will recover. Mm. Good night, El-Kaba.
Good night, little Flossik.
Good night, El-Kaba.
Good night, men. Those frogs are loud. They've increased. In fact, they're increasing by the minute. Something's fishy. I better go wake the others. What's that? Where's that coming from? From the marshes? It's coming from over that way. Somewhere in this direction. It's gone. Now I don't hear it. No. The frogs seem back to normal. Was I dreaming? I better get back. There it is again.
The way is this way.
But I don't feel it. I've never been so fearless in my whole life. I feel incredibly strong. Brave El-Kaba, this way. Ha! Now I think I've stepped in it.
Thank you. It is said, a town's gate can be shut, a fool's mouth never.
Queen Azora is well aware of the myth of the giant frogs. And now Jack realizes what Abu meant when he said, never turn your back on a frog. Kasbah Kelly has received an invitation from the Contessa, and so he's at the Contessa's villa in the hills overlooking Tangier.
I would like this. Very much, Monsieur Kasbah Kelly, that our differences in the past are set aside.
Contessa, that's fine by me.
May we assume Mademoiselle Sky and Jacques Flandeur are in a similar region?
How can we assume that?
You yourself observe both disappear into the air, will we?
Well, at different times and different places, yeah. I saw that happen.
You have spoken to Jacques about his interest, his investigation into Stonehenge and other surface stone.
We talked about that.
You did not talk about the Great Pyramid?
The Great Pyramid?
Oui.
No. We started to talk about it once, but he never got into it.
Jacques was interested in magic. He's a very practical man. He sees magic as energy. So, he tell me how the energy flows upward into the pyramid.
I'm really not that interested in the occult, Contessa. I'm more interested in simply what happened to Jack and Sunny Skies.
It is not a matter of simply, Monsieur Kasbah Kelly. As you see, the eye of the Great Pyramid sits on the plot. Now, one afternoon, Jacques come to visit me, and he tell me this. Nearly 6,000 years ago, the Great Pyramid was built. It was part of an enormous engineering program. The object was the fertilization of the Egyptian plain. Perhaps even more. More tea, Monsieur Kelly?
Huh? Oh, yeah, okay.
We know, you see, the Sahara was once a fertile area, very lush, many plants, etc. But we do not know why the decline into the deserts. This takes place when the pyramid loses its tip and ceases to perform the original function.
That's pretty far out.
No. A problem which faces all investigators of the pyramid is the missing tip. 2,000 years ago, travelers report the summit is not there. So it is believed that the pyramid was never completed. That is not so. The last few feet, in fact, were constructed of a material so precious that it was removed before then. long before the white marble facing was stripped to provide stone for Cairo, long before the Sahara became the Sahara Desert.
That's quite interesting, but how does...
Patience, Monsieur Kelly. The Great Pyramid contained many secrets of mathematics. I remember how Jacques explained that afternoon.
The chief dimensions of the pyramid measured in cubits are base 440, height 280, with a slope of 420. The ratio of the side to the diagonal of a square is 55. But in this case, only the base, 440, is divisible by 55. But if we deduct 5 cubits from the height, the measurements become base, the same 440, height 275, and the slope 412 and a half. In terms of a 55 cubit, which is one great cubit unit, the pyramid measures base 8, height 5, slope 7.5. The 5 cubit height... This animal is getting into the act here. The 5-cubit high tip of the Great Pyramid naturally formed another pyramid of the same proportions as the complete structure and 1/56th of its dimensions. Its vertical height, 5, and the distance from apex to corner of the base, 7.5, and from apex to center of base, lines 6 3/8, are the same in cubits as are those of the Great Pyramid in units of 55 cubits.
Let me interrupt. I seem to be...
We are approaching the point.
As soon as the pyramid was divided into two parts, the upper forming a small pyramid, an actual scale model of the lower, a logical motion was initiated, stretching in both directions. The tip pyramid must lose the last 56th part of its height, meaning there's yet a third pyramid atop the other two pyramids. The volume of this miniature pyramid is 5 cubic inches. The cubic inch of gold was the standard of reference in ancient times. 5 cubic inches could be placed in the palm of the hand. Now we have 3 pyramids. The tiny top, which is the golden apex, 5 cubic inches in volume. Below, and 56 times greater than this, is the second pyramid. Its height, 5 cubits. All but 1/56th part, which belongs to the golden apex. And then, below that, the third pyramid, the Great Pyramid itself, which is 56 squared times larger than the first. And that is the last stage in the physical pyramid.
Good.
You see? The Great Pyramid is composed of 3 pyramids. One on top of the other, each 56 times greater than the next.
But the Great Pyramid continues beyond its physical dimensions. For if we continue, 56 to the third power times greater than the tiny pyramid, the golden apex, we have a base of 8 miles covering 64 square miles, which is exactly the size of the plateau on which stands the Great Pyramid.
And what happens if you continue?
56 to the fourth power times greater than the gold apex has a base side of 448 miles, covering 200,700 square miles. This covers the whole country of Lower Egypt. And 56 to the fifth power times greater has a base side 25,000 88 miles.
What's that correspond to?
The equator of the Earth.
Really?
Oui. But there is more. You would like some more tea?
Yeah.
You see how each pyramid squares itself until it reaches the size of the Earth. But the motion stretch in both directions. We return to the golden apex from which we start. That is not perfect pyramid.
No?
No. For on top of that is a tiny pyramid. 1/56th size of the golden apex. Very, very small. A crystal. Perhaps a diamond. Small as a mustard seed.
That would make the 7th pyramid.
7. Yes, maybe more. You see how it stretched back and forward in both directions into a very tiny molecule. And out into the universe. Lee.
Wait. Greenish. Glowing lights that... Oh, God. They're frogs. Frogs. Standing on their back legs. At least 10 feet high. And they're walking this way. Rubbing their bellies. I hope they're not hungry. Feet, you better do your... There go my knees again. They're circling me. I think I'm being trapped. What was that? What the heck? They've got tongues 20 feet long. I'm no insect. Hey, listen, fellas, listen. I have nothing against frogs, honest. In fact, I've always been rather fond of my little green friends. Ow, that stinks! Ouch! I better think of something. Nice! And fast! Ow! God, these frogs are merciless!
Here, chicken.
Yeah, well, if you were in my shoes, this just happened to be full of bog water.
Yikes!
Here's the saying. Have faith, though it be only in a stone, and you will recover. And you will recover.
The eye. I'll give him a blast from the eye. How do I do that? Yes, you drop it. Do you stop by? Everything is turning gold. They're vanishing. The sun is rising. It's morning.
For it is said, he who sleeps in a marsh wakes up cousin to the frogs.
Into a closed mouth, no fly can enter.
Jack has been attacked by the mythological giant frogs. With long tongues like whips, they drove him deeper and deeper into the marshes. But Jack remembered what the little Flossique said, and he touched the golden eye against his forehead, and the illusion dissolved. He is safe for a while. Meanwhile, the Contessas talked Kelly's ear off, telling him a lot of esoteric stuff about the pyramids and how there was once, upon the tip of the Great Pyramid, a golden eye.
As I returned from the Contessa di Zazinia's villa, her words were still rattling around in my skull.
The pyramid is based upon the square of the planet Mercury. Al-Biruni, the medieval Islamic philosopher, divided the parts of a planet according to the following astrological system. The stem belongs to the sun. The leaves to the moon, the flower to this, and the sea.
Phew. Boy, that stuff's liable to turn my brains into tapioca pudding. But where? What? Where is this? A city. Arches, one after another. Endless. The moonlight is so bright. Something written here. Inscribed in the base of this arch. The sky trembles and the earth is afraid, and the two eyes are not brothers.
Send for the Grand Vizier.
Send for the Grand Vizier.
Send for the Grand Vizier.
Pull up a cushion, Vizier.
Thank you, O great and glorious, merciful and wise, powerful and compassionate.
Sit down.
Sit down, yes. Figs.
Tell me, Vizier, have you any word of the pretender?
The pretender? The son of El Kabar?
Yes.
No word of yet, my lord. Allah be praised. Such figs.
Is this waiting an omen? Or a test of some manner?
Of some manner. My king, methinks this waiting for a word be no omen of things to come, but a mere test.
How so, was it?
How so? Such figs, my lord.
How so, Wazir?
How so? Ah, there is a tale. There is a tale of the beloved Mullah Nasruddin. With my lord's permission.
Tell the tale, Wazir.
One more tiny fig to alert the tongue. One day, as the Mullah Nasruddin walked along the road, he was thinking to himself. According to the general opinion of the uninitiated, dervishes are mad. According to the sages, however, they are the true masters of the world. I would like to test one myself to make sure. Then he saw a tall figure, robed like a dervish, coming towards him. Friend, said the mullah, I want to perform an experiment to test your powers of psychic penetration and also to test my sanity. Proceed, said the dervish. Nasruddin made a sudden sweeping motion with his arm, then clenched his fist. What have I in my hand? A horse, saddle, and rider, replied the dervish. Oh, that That's no real test, said Nasruddin. You saw me pick them up.
Very good. Very good. But I don't get it.
Apparently, Mojo's in there. The bar's been closed for 2 days, but Mojo's in there playing anyway. He's playing in the dark. No. Wait, there's a faint light. A candle, I guess. And something else. Flickering against the wall. I can't quite... I should get these windows cleaned. That's a nice peephole. Good God, he's projecting onto the wall again. It's Jack. He's dressed like a sultan. Something on his forehead. Oh, and there's some fat guy. And a woman approaching. Mojo appears to be playing the piano to their movements.
What do you read, my queen?
He has the eye of Ilkaba to escape our trap. My lord, it was his use of the golden eye.
I know. Wazir, We will prepare the next trap.
Hearing and obedience, my lord.
Wazik, there are all these enormous frogs.
God, there's Jack again.
This tall.
In the
with
desert.
With tongues that
and
could
some little
unwind
burger girl
and
with pigtails. What?
Why did you call for help?
She's
call for help. I was scared.
She's sitting on a camel.
How did you escape?
Smoking a cigar.
I'm not sure. The eye. Yes. I remembered what you said about faith. Even if in a stone, and I touched the eye.
And what happened?
Everything turned into a golden sort of glow. Then it was morning. And the sun was rising.
That's neat.
We will use another force. The ocean that surrounds him. The sand itself.
What way, my lord?
Put the queen's hand to guide the flow of the winds. My lord may paint patterns most intriguing for this son of Ilkaba.
His brain is his true strength. So, let the sand magnify his thoughts.
Until he is swallowed up by his own fate.
But grains of sand will slowly trickle down, filling every crack and crevice in Ilkaba's brain.
Holy cow, there's two Jacks. The sky trembles and the earth is afraid, and the two eyes are not brothers. He's fighting himself.
diamonds on my windshield and these tears from heaven. Well, I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got a steel train in the rain. And the wind bites my cheek through the wing. And it's these late nights and this freeway flying always makes me sing. There's a duster trying to change my tune. He's pulling up fast on the right, rolling restlessly by a 24-hour moon. And a Wisconsin hiker with a cue ball head, he's wishing he's home in a Wisconsin bed. But there's 15 feet of snow in the east, colder than a well digger's ass. And it's colder than a well digger's ass. Oceanside, it ends the ride with San Clemente coming up. Sunday desperados slip by and cruise with a dryback. And the orange driving, the neon billing, and the theaters filling to the brim with slave girls in a hot spur and bucket full of sin. The metropolitan area with interchanging connections, fly-by nights from Riverside, out-of-state plates running a little late. But the sailors jockey for the fast lane, so 101 don't miss it. There's rolling hills, concrete fields, and the broken lines on your mind. The eights go east and the fives go north, and the merging nexus back and forth. You see your sign cross the line, signaling with a blink. And the radio's gone off the air, and it gives you time to think. And you hear the rumble as you fumble for a cigarette. And blazing through this midnight jungle, remember someone that you met one more block. The engine talks, whispers home at last. And whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Mm-hmm. And the diamonds on my windshield and these tears from heaven. Well, I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got me a steel train in the rain, and the wind bites my cheek through the wing. Late nights, freeway flying always makes me sing. It always makes me sing.
Some nurses screwed while driving through Nebraska. So when she came, she honked the horn, and Neil just barely missed a truck. And then he asked her if she'd like to come like that to California. You see, a redhead in a uniform will always get you horny. Yeah. And we had the hairnet, and those white shoes, and a name tag in her hat. She drove like Andy Granatelli, knew how to fix a flat. And Jack was almost at the bottom of his MD 2020. Neil was yelling out the window, trying to buy some pennies from a Lincoln full of Mexicans. And the left rear tire blowed. And the sons of bitches put near, almost ran us off the road. And while the nurses spilled the manischewitz all up and down her dress, and then she lit the map on fire, and Neil just had to guess. Should we try to find a bootleg route or a filling station open? The nurse was dumping out a person looking for an envelope. Jack was out of cigarettes, And as we cross the yellow line, the gas pumps look like tombstones from here. And it felt lonelier than a parking lot when the last car pulls away. And the moonlight dressed the double-breasted foothills in the mirror, wearing out a negligee and a black Brazil. And the mercury was running hot. We were almost out of gas. And just then Florence Nightingale, she dropped the drawers and stuck her fat ass halfway out the window to a Wilson Pickett tune. And shouted, "Get a load of this," and gave the finger to the moon. Cowboy, that is nice. On the bandstand, not a worry in the world, and a glass of beer in one hand and his arms around a girl. Neil was singing to the nurse underneath the Harlem moon, and somehow you could just tell we'd be in California soon. Open up your golden gates, California, here I come. I said, California, here I come. Look out, California, here I come.
Came at dawn to a warm, misty place, barking dogs and the sound of running water. Thomas and Charlie, I said. What? That's the name of this town. Sea level. We climbed straight up from here 10,000 feet. I took a fix and went to sleep in the back seat. He was a good driver, you can tell as soon as someone touches the wheel. Mexico City, where Lupita sits like an Aztec earth goddess, doling out her little papers of lousy shit. Selling is more of a habit than using, Lupita says. Non-using pushers have a contact habit, and that's one you can't kick. Agents get it, too. Take Bradley, the buyer, best narcotics agent in the industry. Anyone would make him for junk. I mean, he can walk up to a pusher and score direct. He is so anonymous, gray, and spectral, the pusher don't remember him afterwards. So he twists one after the other. Well, the buyer comes to look more and more like a junkie. Can't drink. Can't get it up. The teeth fall out. He's all the time sucking on a candy bar. Baby Ruth's he digs special. It really disgusts you to see the buyer sucking on them candy bars. So nasty, the cop says. The buyer takes on an ominous gray-green color. Fact is, his body is making its own junk or equivalent. The buyer has a steady connection. A man within, you might say. Or so he thinks. I'll just set my room, he says. Fuck 'em all. Squares on both sides. I am the only complete man in the industry. But a yen comes on him like a great black wind through the bones. So the buyer hunts up a young junkie and gives him a paper to make it. Oh, all right, the boy says. So what you want to make? I just want to rub up against you and get fixed. Doug, well, all right, but why can't you just get physical like a human? Later, the boy is sitting in a Waldorf with two colleagues dunking pound cake. Most distasteful thing I ever stand still for, he says. Some way, he make himself all soft like a blob of jelly and surround me so nasty. Then he gets wet all over like with green slime, so I guess he come to some kind of awful climax. I come near wigging with that green stuff all over me, and he stink like an old rotten cantaloupe. Well, still an easy score. The boy sighed resignedly. Yes, I guess you can get used to anything. I gotta meet with him again tomorrow. Well, the buyer's habit keeps getting heavier. He needs a recharge every half hour. Sometimes he cruises the precincts and bribes the turnkey to let him in with a cell of junkies. Guess where no amount of contact will fix it. At this point, he receives a summons from the district supervisor. Bradley, your conduct has given rise to rumors that I hope for your sake they are no more than that. So unspeakably distasteful that, I mean, Caesar's wife, that is, the department, must be above suspicion. Certainly above such suspicions as you have seemingly aroused. You are lowering the entire tone of the industry. We are prepared to accept your immediate resignation. The buyer throws himself on the ground and crawls over to the DS. No, boss man, no. The department is my very lifeline. He kisses the district supervisor's hand, thrusting his fingers into his mouth. The DS must feel his toothless gums, complaining he has lost his teeth in a thurbit. Please, boss man, I'll wipe your ass. I'll wash out your dirty condoms. I'll polish your shoes with the oil on my nose. Really, this is most distasteful. Have you no pride? I must tell you, I feel a distinct revulsion. I mean, there is something, well, rotten about you. You smell like a compost heap. He put a scented handkerchief in front of his face. I must ask you to leave this office at once. I'll do anything, boss. Anything. His ravaged green face splits in a horrible smile. I'm still young, boss, and I'm pretty strong when I get my blood up. The DS retches into his handkerchief and points to the door with a limp hand. The buyer stands up, looking at the DS dreamily. His body begins to dip like a dowser's wand. He flows forward. No, no, screams the DS. Slup, slup, slup. An hour later, they find the buyer on the nod in the DS's chair. The DS has disappeared without a trace. The judge. Everything indicates that you have, in some unspeakable manner, simulated the district supervisor. Unfortunately, there is no proof. I would recommend that you be confined, or more accurately, contained in some institution. But I know of no place suitable for a man of your caliber. I must reluctantly order your release. That one should stand in an aquarium, says the arresting officer. The buyer spreads terror throughout the industry. Junkies and agents disappear. Like a vampire bat, he gives off a narcotic effluvium, a dank green mist that anesthetizes his victims and renders them helpless in his enveloping presence. And once he is scored, he holds up for several days like a gorged bull constrictor. Finally, he's caught in the act of digesting the narcotics commissioner and destroyed with a flamethrower. The court of inquiry ruling that such means were justified in that the buyer had lost his human citizenship and was, in consequence, a creature without species and a menace to the narcotics industry on all levels.
Did you shut down? caverne profonde, les chambres closes où il est interdit d'entrer, les forêts impénétrables suggèrent qu'on va nous révéler quelque chose qui normalement nous est caché, tandis que le « il y a de cela bien longtemps » implique que nous allons connaître des événements des plus archaïques.
Rien.
Le soir, elle arriva à l'orée d'une grande forêt où elle entra. Elle était si épuisée par le chagrin, la faim et une longue route qu'elle s'abrita dans le creux d'un arbre et s'endormit.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Le lendemain, elle s'enfonça plus profondément dans la sombre forêt qui lui faisait éprouver plus cruellement sa solitude.
Depuis les temps les plus reculés, la forêt pratiquement impénétrable où nous nous perdons symbolise le monde obscur, caché, pratiquement impénétrable de notre inconscient. Cette image très ancienne qu'évoque Dante au début de la Divine Comédie, au milieu du voyage de notre vie.
Je me retrouvais par une forêt obscure.
Je me retrouvais dans une sombre forêt où j'avais perdu mon chemin.
Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per una selva oscura.
Les localisations étranges,
très lointaines dans le temps et l'espace, et pourtant si familières,
dont nous parlent les contes de fées.
Au milieu du chemin de notre vie, je me retrouvais par une forêt obscure, car la voie droite était perdue.
nous font penser à un voyage dans les abîmes de notre esprit.
Et cosa dura est la selva selvaggia, di astra e forte, e del pensiero di nuova la palude.
Au royaume de l'inconscient.
Au milieu du chemin de notre vie, je me retrouvais dans une forêt obscure, car la voie droite était perdue.
Que la diritta via era smarrita.
Ah, dire ce qu'elle était, chose dure.
Ah, dire ce qu'elle était, chose dure. Cette forêt féroce et âme,
qui ranime la forme,
qui ranime la peur.
C'est si amère que mort est à peine.
C'est si amère que mort est à peine tué.
Muy bien.
Shri Guru Charan. तुम्हें बज रे मना apparaît.